chat. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive on mic. Just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage. And I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share. That same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope. Yo man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio once again with your host, Nick Burnaby, here with my co-host, DB Schwartz, here on UCY.TV. How's it going, brother? You there? Oh, hold on. He's not on yet. One second. Let me make sure we can get him on this call. Okay, he should be on in a second here. Anyways, you guys can catch us live on UCY every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the same time at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern time. Hey, are you there?
Hey, Nick. How's it going?
Pretty good, man. I think I lost you there during the intro there.
Through the interwebs?
Yep.
Well, it happens, man, you know.
Yeah, it's inevitable when it comes to this stuff, especially with my computer, man. It's just, I need a new computer. This thing sucks at this point.
Well, you're NSA'd up, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, they probably got their little they got their bugs on me.
They got you. They're watching. They're a fan.
But who aren't they watching anymore nowadays? I just watched that Snowden interview that was on the German channel that they actually were censoring like crazy over here in the U.S. But it finally got through on LiveLeak. They kept taking it down on YouTube and stuff, but
yeah.
It got through on LiveLeak, and I was finally able to watch it. And it's just more and more of the same stuff, man. More of the stuff that we already knew. More of this just insane amount of you know, them spying on us through Angry Birds and just the most redundant things. It's just insane.
Well, the craziest thing was that the Super Bowl, they had these freaking NYPD watchtowers that were like pop-up watchtowers. I don't know if you saw those. And then they had guys with, you know, M16s or whatever the heck the next generation of assault rifle is up there four to a tower looking all different ways. And man, I mean, the funniest thing about it is it's not keeping anyone safe, because if a guy can get up on the podium with a fake credential through $2 billion of security, then we know that whatever their apparatus of spying on their own people is, it's not for safety.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like this whole Hunger Games. I don't know if you guys have watched that movie, but I mean, besides all the pop culture hype and all that, there's some, you know, some real things happening in those movies. But it's kind of the same thing. How the Super Bowl is kind of like the Hunger Games, and it's such a big target, and it's such a you know, over indulging type of event, and it's billions and billions of dollars. By the way, a lot of that is tax dollars. A lot of it's us subsidizing this stuff.
InfoWars, which I don't hold very credible in a lot of things, did do a great job with the Super Bowl. And they had a guy going out there, and he was asking people, you know, do you know who won or lost the Super Bowl? And then people would go, you know, the game that hasn't played yet. Is this a trick question? He's like, no, we did. He's like, we lost. And they're like, what are you talking about? And he said, well, think about it. The NFL made $1.2 billion in profit last year, paid $3 million in donations, and was able to become tax exempt.
It's insane.
It's $200 million of tax revenue that we miss out on, essentially, just because of a loophole of some sort that they got, and I don't know how they were able to get that.
It's total cronyism. I mean, look here in San Diego. They're trying to get us to finance a new stadium for these guys. They want us to pay for it.
Right.
But who gets the profits from all these games and all this TV advertising and all that stuff? They do. So it's a typical crony situation where they privatize all the profits and then they basically socialize all the cost, which is, you know, they put all the costs on our backs. And then, you know, they make out like bandits. All these guys make millions and millions of dollars. I mean, who knows how much these guys make, but, it's ridiculous, you know, and like you were saying, that guy slips right through security. I mean, I saw him, he was on our friend's show, The Rundown Live, a few minutes ago. I was listening to that. And I guess apparently he got on a staff bus and he came into the press conference in like they thought he was a staffer that worked for the place and he came right in with his fake press, pass or whatever. And man, I applaud him for what he did. It took a lot of, cojones to get up there and do that. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. And I love the dumbfounded look on the player's face. Like, what in the hell is this guy talking about? I just love it, dude. It epitomizes everything of our society, where you get the athlete making millions, has no clue at all what the guy's talking about at all. He doesn't even know what the event is. I guess the guy's 24 years old, so that would put him at what, 13 when it happened or something. So, yeah, man. I mean, it's a clueless public. People paying $1,000 for the nosebleed seats, waiting 2 hours in security lines, 2 hours on mass transit because there was no way to drive there. And it was so Hunger Games-esque, it was hilarious, because it's predictive programming in a way for a carless future. Do you like the American lifestyle? Well, get used to waiting 2 hours to get anywhere on super crowded monorail systems like in China.
Sounds it sounds fun.
I mean, if you've ever watch video on YouTube of Chinese rush hour during their public transportation. I mean, it's just cattle cars, dude. You get thrown in there, packed in, you wait forever. I mean, you're better off biking it, but you can't bike it because it's too far. And yeah, man, this is what we have to look forward to, because all the free energy in the world is not going to matter if these guys don't release it. And they're going to say, well, we're out of oil, so we're out of energy. And everyone's going to buy into it because no one knows who Nikola Tesla is.
Well, then they're going to ram through this Keystone pipeline that
sure.
It looks like it's going to come through pretty soon here.
It's a done deal. You know, only some tribes are stopping it because their land is very expensive for the government to buy. But they're going to do it anyway through eminent domain. And the thing is, all of that oil is horrible, horrible, what they call crap oil. Instead of crude, sweet crude, they call it sweet crap because it's so horribly polluting. It's bound for China, all of it. Not a single drop can be burned anywhere in the northern hemisphere.
You know, they're going in and they're going to try to there's already 56 cases of eminent domain. So basically they're going in, you know, big oil is going in there and they're using the government's strong arm to jack these people out of their land. A lot of them are natives, a lot of them are farmers, and they're just saying, oh no, it's for the greater good, guys, we're gonna go ahead and just take your land, take, you know, we're gonna give you some money for it, just take it, even if you don't want to sell, too bad, go ahead and just take this money. And because, you know, money can fix everything in this world, according to these people. But a lot of these native people don't want to be thrown off their land. I mean, this is already land that they've been thrown out of once. And they've been relocated to this new land, and now they want this land back. You know, it's
right.
Like it's exactly like what we did to them, and what the European did to the natives in the past, they're doing it again now with this whole Keystone Pipeline thing.
And it's all built on a fabrication because we know the technology is there. We don't need oil. Oil is just a form of control. So when they're busting this pipeline through and telling you it's necessary for energy security for China so we can avoid war and economic strife, guess what? Dude, just release Tesla's tech. Stop hoarding it. All energy concerns are gone. All wars would probably be over because they're always about resources, right? So it's BS to the biggest degree. Now, the good thing about it is finally because of an innocuous movie like Blackfish – that the orca whale may actually end up blocking the end of the pipeline because that's going to threaten the orca habitat. And now the orca is the number one animal in the world right now. So maybe these guys on the very extreme end of Canada can stop it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you know, they already built the southern half of the pipeline already went into operation quietly last week, I believe. The week before. So the southern half is already up and going. And they did it during this whole Justin Bieber. It's become so predictive now when we see these things like this whole Justin Bieber hype and all that stuff. That's literally when they open up this pipeline is when this whole Justin Bieber thing was going off. You know, I don't know whether they just wait for the media to do something stupid and then take advantage of it out of convenience, or whether this stuff is like pre-orchestrated and they say, okay, let's go ahead and cause this massive distraction while we go ahead and do this, you know, sketchy stuff that the people are probably not going to, you know, really fall for, unless we can pull the wool over their eyes with Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. I mean, it's distraction to the extreme. And it's funny that whenever you see keywords being thrown around like deportation, you can be sure that that's just setting you up for some kind of immigration reform shenanigans they're going to come up with now. You know, if we catch you over here doing something, we have the right to prosecute you and criminalize you here, and then we're going to use you for our labor camps. You know, something crazy like that's coming out of this whole Bieber crap.
Yeah, of course. I mean, of course. Now, if anybody wants to call in, we have open lines tonight. Monday nights, we always have open lines. The call-in number is 718-717-8296. So if anybody wants to call in, chime in with what we're talking about, feel free to call in and let us know what you're thinking or whatever you guys want to talk about. It doesn't have to be on topic. Now back to this 9/11 truther guy. I was just scrolling through my news feed and I saw Business Insider has now picked up the story about this guy.
And it's on Newser too, which is the biggest news aggregate of every major massive mainstream media. So now that it's on news and Deadspin's running with this too, Deadspin's making this available for sports fans who are among the most sheeple of all people. Well, this is great. This is the best thing that could have happened because these are the people that literally have their heads in the sand for the most part. So for them to even go, huh, investigate 9/11, well, that's great. It's awesome.
Yeah, and it was also trending on Twitter for a bit. I think it was even trending above the Super Bowl for a second there because I guess the Super Bowl is so boring. Such a poor game.
Such a
crappy game that people were more concerned with this thing afterwards. And it's good because it's raising, you know, it's raising the profile of 9/11 Truth. And 9/11 Truth is the gateway for a lot of people. You know, that's the gateway drug to liberty. It's the gateway drug to freedom. It's when you start realizing, okay, well, maybe the government isn't so innocent after all. Maybe they are not out looking out for the public interest or whatever. Maybe they are trying to just, you know, make money.
Let's be clear. It's not the government's elements within the government. The government, if it were allowed to function the way it was supposed to function pre-1913, everything was great. We had the most robust economy because we make food and goods like no other. And we have the hardest working people. And then they just went and destroyed that all in 100 years. So the government, if allowed to function correctly, a constitutional republic, and even if we need to eventually because people are kind of dumbed down now, go to a technocratic kind of governmental process, we can still make it work the way it's working, where your individual rights are not only protected, but whoever tries to get away with doing away with those indeed becomes a prisoner themselves.
Yeah, and that's where that's kind of what the push is going on right now at the local level. I was in Encinitas last week, and we introduced some local legislation there to basically nullify the National Defense Authorization Act indefinite detention provision, and basically it says the legislation that we gave to the Encinitas City Council basically says, you know, if any federal entity comes in here trying to enforce this law, then you guys have to, by law, you have to detain them. You know, you know, it's going on and it's booming now at the local level because people are starting to realize, look, it's almost impossible to go at the congressional level and definitely not at the executive level.
No.
So people are turning back to their local level on their local government, which, you know, local government can be pretty awful as well, but at least these people are a bit more accountable.
They can't be that awful though, because see what happened in Fullerton? You can't stop it. You can't stop it. You know what I mean? We know where you live. We live next to you. Where are you going to go? What do you think you're going to do if you don't do what we want? Like when you sit up in an ivory tower in Washington, D.C., you're a little bit insulated. I mean, it takes a million man march to get them to understand what we want done. But at a local level, 50 people slammed into a council meeting makes those guys so uncomfortable. I mean, if you can get up to 500 people, those guys literally can't hold their council. So it works so well at a local level because people are passionate. I mean, what we're seeing now with this drought talk in California, I mean, this is a perfect time to spearhead getting a desalinization plant built now. Stop using this as an excuse to jack up water rates. Get the plant built so we can stabilize our water future in SoCal. You know what I mean? It's just simple things like that we can spearhead.
Yeah, but if not, then they just go back to those laws that they had before where they start fining you for washing your car or watering your lawn at the wrong time of day.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, we'll just have to just get those wiped out. Push them back, repeal them. I mean, anytime these guys bring these laws up, anytime somebody has like a representative bring up a bill and we read the bill as the citizens of this country and say, what a bullshit bill. Recall needs to start that night on the guy. He needs to be out of there. Immediately. If Gray Davis can get booted, anyone can get booted.
Yeah, these guys at the local level are a lot more accountable. And like you're saying, you actually know where they live. You know, they're not up in Washington, D.C., protected by Secret Service and a billion-dollar police state. You know, at the local level, these people are kind of, you know, they don't have security guards. You can locate them and heckle them and pressure them. And let them know. And the more numbers you can show, I mean, the more you could really get the idea through. And there's been quite a few cities already and towns that have nullified the National Defense Authorization Act indefinite detention already. You know, so it's already being done. We already have the blueprint. We already have the model legislation. In fact, if you guys want to, if anyone listening wants to get involved with that, you know what, I'm going to bring I'll see if Dan Johnson from Panda, which is the People Against the NDAA, wants to come on the show maybe next week or so to talk a little bit more about it. But if you guys want to, if any of you guys listening want to, you know, do what we're doing here in San Diego as far as getting this NDAA stuff nullified, go to I believe it's called pandaunite.org/takeback, and if you go there. You could download this packet and it'll have all the information there where you can put together a coalition of people in your local area, and then you can go to your city council with all the tools you need and try to get this legislation passed so that you can get this NDAA stuff nullified locally so that you guys don't have to worry about ending up in a FEMA camp if there's civil unrest, you know?
Yeah,
you guys
because the cops will not enforce it if they think, number one, it's unjust, which they already do, but if they think somehow in the future they may be brought up on crimes against humanity for enforcing these laws, they will not enforce these. They would never, you know, they would never risk their whole life in jail to do the bidding of these banksters when they understand what it really is all about.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, come on, most cops are football watchers, right? And they probably may have caught a little piece of that 9/11 Truth segment too. And like I was saying, 9/11 Truth is your gateway drug into these ideas of freedom and to thinking about your civil liberties and stuff. You know, and there was a report the other day, I forget what website it came out of, but there was a chief that took an oath. He like signed like the secondary oath saying, I will, like basically saying, I'm going to respect the civil liberties of all of the people in my area, you know. And he was a police chief. And so, you know, he's like an oath keeper basically, but he's a you know, current police chief. And, you know, there's decent cops out there that are finally starting to realize what's going on. They're seeing all this news about people getting beat up and killed by the cops. They don't want to be like that. I have a friend who I won't name the person, but their spouse is a cop, and they were telling me that they were like, yeah, like it sucks being a good cop when you're seeing all this stuff, all these guys killing people and giving us all a bad name. So I think we're getting to a point now where like even the cops are going to start outing out the bad ones within their ranks, you know.
Well, they're mortified, hopefully. Dude, because listen, man, if I was a cop and I went in and I tried to do a good job and I saw all these psychopaths that they keep hiring, I'm going to be like, man, I can't even be comfortable in my own workplace because I'm around guys that I genuinely not only don't respect, but I fear them going off on the hinge at any time and they're licensed to kill. And this is the thing, is the standards are so freaking low. We're not hiring the right guys, which are the vets, coming home with a crappy job economy and perfectly suited for that job. And the reason why we're not hiring is because they're constitutional oath. They don't want those guys back in a position to protect the citizens. So they hire these guys that they purposely find them through testing that are easy to manipulate, and they're violent guys. This is what they look for now. It wasn't like this 20 years ago. 20 years ago, it was still the neighborhood cop mentality, where police were even respected. And the thing that was the breaking point was Rodney King, when we really saw what the beginning is of the police state, because that was just the ghetto at that point. But that was it, man. That was the beginnings of it.
Hey, sorry guys, we had a little malfunction there. I'm not sure what happened, but I'm getting DB back on the line now. Something's wrong with my computer today. I was like freezing up on me, like right when I was initiating the call for the radio show. Hey, DB, you there?
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, they're getting it.
Sorry, we had a little disconnection there.
Yep, so I don't even know. I felt like I was going on an epic rant there, and now my train of thought is completely gone.
Hold on. I'm having a problem.
We good?
Every time my mic disconnects, it disconnects me from Skype at the same time, so.
Strange.
Yeah, we're back up.
All right, well, this is what I'm saying, dude. You're nisade. We're gonna have to build your computer so it has no bloatware, and then probably Linux it and all that other good stuff, you know? We're gonna have to have that's one of your fans can build you something that's crackproof.
Yeah, or if any of you guys want to send me a Bitcoin, I should be able to afford it. I should be able to afford to get a decent computer finally.
Yeah.
The laptop I've been working on right now, I got it for $75. $75 Federal Reserve notes, which now is probably worth about $60.
Hey, did you know that one Federal Reserve note is now climbing in Peru?
Oh, really?
One Federal Reserve note's now worth 2.77 Nuevos Soles, which it was 2.5 when I was there 3 or 4 months ago.
Hey, so I have a question for you about Peru, considering you've been there and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Now, they have a Nuevo Sole. Does that mean they used to have a regular Sole?
Yeah, because they went to the same Ponzi scheme type stuff.
Hyperinflation already, right?
Well, they're already the third world, so what are you going to do? They're already used to like not having a lot. Maybe the very richest people are going to like bug out, but where are you going to go? It's better to just stay where you're at. I don't know, man. Like, they have such a – South America is so untapped for resources that who cares? Get money. You're good. You're good for it.
Well, yeah, that's why the U.S. has been doing so many CIA black operations down there for the past, you know, since the – well, all during the Cold War and all that stuff. They blamed it all on communism. When it comes down to it, we find out that it's all corporatism.
Well, you know, it's our backyard, number one, because it's in our hemisphere. And then it's plan B, which they're going to use, because if anything catastrophic happens to the U.S. or Europe, plan B is South America. You know, so that's what it's being set up as now. There's a lot of ports, a lot of railroads, a lot of highways, a lot of sky rises going up. The wealth's pouring in like you wouldn't even believe. That's just Lima. That's all I've seen. I've seen other cities there. They're not being quite as affected, but the capital city is getting a major economic boom. And then I've heard, you know, Chile right now is, I believe, a top 10 economy in the entire world. Because it's just middle class and stable. So, yeah, man, there's a lot of good things there. If Brazil wasn't so many people there, they'd be very wealthy too. But, you know, they have a lot of poverty just because there's so many people.
Yeah, man. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we started seeing a ton of fracking down there, which is probably already going on, because now they're trying to frack everything.
They're going to frack up the Amazon is what they're going to do. Because there's probably a – well, I mean, if you really do a lot of research online about oil and about how peak oil is a complete fallacy, there's a couple mega, mega oil fields. And I'm talking about things that are like 10 times the size of Saudi Arabia's that are hidden in plain sight. One is the Amazon Basin and the other one is the Dead Sea. You could look it up. Some people will say, oh, it's BS or whatever. And some people say the sources are no good, but they're all whistleblowers. And there are guys that said, you know, those two places right there have like 10 Saudi Arabias. So we're never going to really run out of oil, but they're going to just say, oh, it's getting harder and harder. They're going to just keep jacking the prices up till eventually everybody's taking these monorails everywhere.
You know, and now, you know, this is the whole thing that's so ironic about this whole situation. Now, they're saying that we're in this huge drought. It's been, what, 16 years or something on the West Coast. And I don't doubt that. I mean, that's obvious. We were in a huge drought. I mean, it's raining right now.
Yeah, we got rain.
But we're in a huge drought. Now, they're already fracking down in the heart of America's farmland, which is the Central Valley, which is
– that's the aquifer, too. Yeah.
Which is – you know, you can make enough food out of the California Central Valley to feed the whole entire country plus some if they wanted to maximize it. Now they're fracking right there, and they're fracking. They're going to destroy their groundwater, and we all know fracking requires a lot of water to operate a fracking setup. You know, so now they're going to be draining a lot of the water that should be going to these farms, and instead they're going to be giving it to these frackers. It's
well,
just
only
insane.
for like six more years will they do this, because they'll tap it by then, and then they'll have the whole infrastructure for gasoline switched over to liquid natural gas, because I guess they found a gigantic, enormous East Coast natural gas field, and then Israel found a gigantic, enormous one, and you know they're the 51st state. So that's what we're going to go to. And then we got all the lithium we need from Afghanistan for all the hybrids, because everything's going to go liquid natural gas hybrid. For people that can afford a car, most people are still going to take the monorail system. But that's what we're setting up, man. We're not going to – the American lifestyle is not going to die quietly. They're going to do whatever they can do, however they can do it, to make us, I guess, a quiet fade, you know what I mean? Otherwise, it's going to be too disruptive to society. That's what all these major, massive economic wars have been about, man. Just they're trying to stretch the 50s out as long as they can. And we've been going 60 years on it already, but it's tough to keep doing it.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, you know, they're enforcing down the barrel of a gun, you know, our foreign policy, enforcing the dollar system on everybody, keeping America in a bubble. And unfortunately, we're in this fake economy, so people are in for a rude awakening when the bubble does come down. And that's why we always talk about going off-grid and stuff. I have some good news from my house. We pitched in and got a couple solar panels, and we're taking our aquaponics system off-grid, which is cool, you know, so that at least we have some off-grid food for if anything ever happens. And I got my our first lemon cucumber out of the aquaponics system the other day, and it was awesome, actually. It was, like, the best cucumber ever. And I got some these little they're basically cherry tomatoes. I grew some outdoor during the summertime, but I got some in the aquaponics system right now, and these things are getting huge. It's like they're not even cherry tomatoes. They're like regular size. It's like, what the hell is going on here?
Because they have ample – they're not in nutrient-depleted soil getting hit with chemtrails, dude.
Yeah, exactly. It's all organic.
Dude, the future of healthy living is going to be aquaponic indoor setups for all your food, and then also – getting your water out of air with moisture condensers and distilling it and making all this – the power to do this stuff through solar panels, windmills. I know even I talked to you about the tiles that you can step on and make power. You can put those in your bathroom and your kitchen. And you're stepping around and your tile will depress a little bit and all your weight will go through a coil and electrify, you know, and it will feed into your own personal grid. I mean, and then you even have the best invention ever, which is the feeder bike, which is a stationary bike you can get buff and feed back into your own grid. So you can eat and drink and get in shape forever, perpetually. As long as you just get enough repair knowledge to fix stuff when they break, you could be completely off-grid forever.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's no reason not to be, and it's the smart thing, too. It's a smart thing to do, you know. It's not smart to be on a government-based, a government-monopolized grid of any sort, whether it's the electricity, which most of it's privatized, so to speak, but at the same time, they're all monopolized and they're all guaranteed by the government with all these regulations, which make it almost impossible to make your own power plant to sell power back to the grid and all that stuff. I mean, they make it impossible because
you
they
can,
don't.
But you need to have enough people that are like smart enough to co-op. Like in Sacramento, where I did live for a couple months, it's co-opted, so my power bill was like ridiculously low. I'm talking about like $8 a month sometimes. Like it was so stupid cheap. And every community do that, just do it. But by the time you have something like SDG&E set up where they own all the infrastructure outright, it's impossible. No one's coming in and building new power lines. You'll see those things get sabotaged in a second. So yeah, once you're big enough and you're entrenched, you're a monopoly unto yourself. You're too big to fail in any industry. And that's the biggest problem with our country today and why we're dipping into corporatism and this elite oligarchy, because what are you going to do to the Fortune 500 company? You can't really sue them. They can't even go bankrupt. If they go bankrupt, they get bailed out, because if they went bankrupt, they'd lay off so many people, would destroy the economy. It'd be a ripple effect. So we have this crazy crony capitalist system that is so entrenched we can't get rid of it. We have to cut it out like a cancer and come up with something totally different. I don't even know what, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's the real question, and that's why I was talking to some people at this TPP protest the other day, and we were talking about how you know, people want to see solutions. You know, they want to stop hearing us preach about it, and they want to start seeing it happen. You know, and I think that's the point where we're at now. And, you know, like this whole thing with the aquaponics is great. You know, if we can start getting more and more people to do this kind of stuff, I mean, that's a great head start. I mean, that automatically can take a good percentage of the population off the food grid. you know, and then of course then we're going to have the people that don't have the space, people that are stuck in the ghetto where there's just a bunch of apartments and no empty space to grow community gardens. And then we're going to have to, you know, there's other solutions that we're going to have to come up with.
To help other people. We're going
to
have to grab, you know, a big piece of land, and then we're just going to have to make the template, bite the bullet, and then, you know, whoever's a willing soul to come build this into something, and then we'll go from there and buy adjoining plots and all that. I mean, you can unincorporate yourself and become a hamlet with enough people and have your own police force and everything like that. I mean, you can do that. Our system still allows that flexibility. It'll never not allow it because wealthy people want the ability to do that. And you do not have to be necessarily wealthy, just informed and with enough people with enough resources that you can make that happen.
Yeah, man.
Once you have a 50, 60 acre plot of land, why not just go, hey, if you can make it here, I got a spot for you to lay your head and then we'll build more houses. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and as these ideas start coming into play and people start finding out about them, I mean, it's just the barriers of entry are just going to start falling like dominoes, and then next thing you know, everybody's going to be – all these ideas are going to be spreading. You know, we just need working models so people can start seeing it happen. You know, like this guy I think his name is Will Allen out of Wisconsin, the guy that has that that urban community garden called Growing Power. You know, this guy has opened up a lot of eyes and with his farm, and they're able to grow like 1 million pounds of food in a year on 3 acres of land. And this is including growing right through the Wisconsin winter, which is, you know, pretty rough. It's snow on the ground pretty much the whole time. And they're able to pull this stuff off all using natural techniques, all organic. And they're in an urban area, and they're helping out the inner city people. I mean, these are the ideas that catch fire. These are the ideas people like to hear about and read about. And then once they get out there, then people can just start replicating. They see, this is how it works. This is how they did it. Okay, let's replicate that right here in downtown Los Angeles or in New York City on the rooftops. You know, there's a bunch of people doing that now in New York City too. There's gardens popping up on the rooftops. I mean, that's why I'm so optimistic, man. Honestly, I wouldn't be able to do this stuff if I wasn't optimistic that what we're doing.
Well, there's solutions. That's the thing, is they're suppressed. The biggest trick is that all these technologies are in plain sight, yet people are so comfortable and lazy in the current system that they don't understand it when it does collapse, because it will, that they could have been fine. And there's solutions now to do it now. We don't need to live off grid and get all crazy and be like some hermit in the woods. Nobody needs to do that at all. But what we need to do is that if something happens where there's like a blackout, we're good. Or if the food trucks stop coming, we're good. Or if the water doesn't turn on, we're good. So that when that thing does happen, because it will, nobody's going to go out and do food riots and kill each other and have a big civil war about it and ruin the country and basically start the end of things. Because that's really where we'd be our strongest as a society, is when we're completely fine if anything crazy happened at all, for not for weeks but months. If we did have a blackout and the grid went out, we're good for like 5 years when we repair it. Like, we're okay. We're all prepped. Like, a responsible government would endorse that line of thinking and even subsidize it.
Well, if you look at the old propaganda posters from World War II, they used to encourage people to start gardens.
Yeah,
because everything was on ration, and you know they couldn't. They didn't have that much food at the grocery store, so they encouraged everyone to grow their own gardens. I mean, the idea now is the same. And what was happening during World War II is all the government resources were being used up in the war effort, right? Well, you know, that's kind of the same thing that's happening now. All the resources are not being used up so much in just the war effort, but I mean, they're being used to bail out Wall Street. They're being used to spy on our own citizens. They're being used to fly drones on our own skies. I mean, so all the resources are right now, it's kind of like World War II ration.
Never ended, Nick. That's the thing, is that everybody still fights everybody else. There's just never been World War III yet. There's never been that outright. It's just been proxy war after proxy war after proxy war, and backdoor dealings between them to try to end the wars by doing some kind of mutual alliances, and they never work because the ideologies are too different between East and West. And, like, that's all it is. That's all it ever is, and it's never ended. So we need to have that mentality. They need to bring us back and not this false illusion of security. People should all have gardens and definitely have tarps to keep these chemtrails off their crop. And make your own water, you know, make it out of the air. And have everything solar power, you know, panel, everything like that, man, and wells. When we have all that stuff set up, everything's fine. Like, there's not going to be a big panic when things go down, and we're going to be able to get through whatever.
Yeah, man, I'm pulling up right now these water maker things that you make out of, you can make water out of thin air.
Solar paneled too, right? And they make 2 gallons a day or something.
I remember looking them up a while back. They were, the only reason I didn't jump on it myself was they were like $1,000.
Yeah.
But just in case anybody that's listening is able to afford that, it's like a basically like a little water dispenser, like the kind where you put the 5 gallon the 5 gallon water thing on the top, you know, it basically looks the same thing, looks the same way. But the website I see right here, it's called islandsky.com or Skywater. But there's a few companies that make these things, and you could literally, if you have electricity, you just plug this thing in, and it takes the humidity out of your air, and it condenses it down into water, and you can get a couple gallons a day.
Enough to survive.
Yeah, and I mean, that's one option for going off grid. The other option is getting a well. The other option is getting one of these fog catchers. I don't know if you guys have seen that. I did an article on it a while back, but yeah, if you Google that or go on YouTube, you can find out about that. You can catch fog and in like these net. You can use like basically a greenhouse shading, and you could build these nets if you live in a place where it's always foggy. You build these nets, and it's like a you know, it's like a sail almost, and you put it up where the wind blows through, where there's fog, and the water, the fog condenses on this thing. It drips all the way down to the bottom. You could get a lot of water out of those things, and you know, there's all kinds of ways of doing it. Like you were talking about desalination, we're putting out an article tomorrow on these things. They're called solar stills. I don't know if you've seen those before, but it's just like this little DIY. It's like a little box with a glass, you know, a transparent top to it where the sun could shine in and heat up this water, and then the water condenses on the top, and then it runs down, then you have a little collector at the bottom. So it's like a little distiller. It's all solar, you know, solar paneled. It's non-electric. It's basically solar thermal powered. Yeah. And it's simple. It's just a box with a glass top or a plastic top and a little bit of maybe some PVC piping. That's about it.
And these things, they require some investment. But, I mean, if you can just get, like, 10 people together and kind of make this happen where each of you put in a decent amount of money, you can make it happen. You know what I mean? It's all feasible. The technology's there right now. I'm looking at this stuff. I'm looking at this same Skywater, Nick, this thing, the emergency water generator. I mean, you can have a community go off-grid completely because you can make water out of thin air in a big, big, gigantic collector.
Yeah, this emergency unit, 900 gallons
a day? I mean, are you kidding me? And it'll run – it's a diesel generator, which means it'll run on ethanol. So you can grow your own fuel from corn to make water.
Or you could hook it up on alternative sources too.
Sure, biomass or whatever, anything. Like diesel will run on just about anything as long as it's somewhat combustible. So – yeah, man. I you can see the potential for this stuff, and it's a big round number to look at. It's probably a couple hundred thousand, but if you're doing it with 10 people and they each come up with 20 grand, it's so feasible to get a little hamlet going somewhere and then grow out from there. You can unincorporate and become a community and hire a deputy. Then the NDAA won't apply, will it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, these are the ideas we need to spread. The idea is that we don't need these people. You know,
I mean, what do they do? I understand San Diego, we need it. But what if I want to go out and make something in the hills, dude? Like a little bit out from Julian where I know there's groundwater. And maybe would 10 of us want to do that, and I'll get a little place and then build houses and keep getting acres and acres. Like, these things are all possible, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and the common fallacy is like the people like to say, okay, well, without government, who would build the roads? Well, if you look at who builds the roads now and who pays for them, well, we pay for them with our taxes. And who builds them? People that we probably know, people that are in construction that actually go out and build stuff, people that do that kind of thing. It's not the government out there building these roads. It's people that build roads.
Well, the government subcontracts almost anything anyway.
Yeah.
Look at what they do. They're an administrative agency. That's what they do. They're not supposed to have all of these different departments. It's just a megalithical nightmare now.
And they're just huge megalithic middlemen that rob us of all of our value of our money, because then the administrative cost of deciding, okay, we're going to tax this person this much, and then we're going to go ahead and put this much towards rebuilding roads. And then what happens is the roads that actually need to be rebuilt don't even get rebuilt. It's the ones that are politically convenient. The ones that are politically convenient to rebuild is what they do. They go and make one road look real nice, and then they neglect the rest. Right. They spend way too much on one road, making it lined with brick and stainless steel like they did here in where I live, instead of fixing the roads that people drive on every day.
The best analogy I've always thought of was like, when you're in a community where there's heavy snowfall and there's nobody to come plow that snow, you're going to find somebody to do it, right? You're going to find someone out there that'll do that job and do it well, and you'll pay them. It would work in any capacity. The only real thing we need really is like probably military and transportation and a few other things, but that's about it. Just the stuff that keeps our identity and our culture and our communities intact under the banner of the United States of America, the real one, the real country, not the company. And the thing is, when we get that basically established, it'll be back to what it used to be. We'll have a lot more people. We're going to have to spread out a lot more, but we can go back to 40 acres and a mule. Everybody can have a homestead. Everybody can be independent. We have the technology now. We have tons of open land. If you've ever driven across country, you know that. And we can spread everyone out and have a great, huge, super productive country that grows enough food to feed the whole world.
Have you seen those images of the landmass in the West, you know, west of the Mississippi, and who owns what? I think the government owns roughly 70% of all the landmass west of the Mississippi River, which is insane. And that's enough landmass. I mean, I saw reports before a couple of years ago that like every family in the world could literally fit inside the state of Texas and still have an acre of land. I mean, so there's not really a shortage on land.
No.
It's just an artificial shortage. Obviously the government owns 70% of it, so that's obvious shortage there. And you know, these real estate moguls have a vested interest in keeping the demand. You know, they want the government to own all this land, because then the demand keeps going up because there's more and more people and less land. But so I wouldn't doubt that there's a good chance the reason why the government owns so much land is because there's these other interests that are these real estate mogul, you know, families and corporations that owned a lot of the usable land that want the government to hold it down because they don't want all this free land popping up and their prices to go down.
Yeah, that's a huge – that's definitely a huge indicator. And I know another reason is because the airspace, because they have so many of the advanced technology air bases out here, and they can't have people living under them and looking up in the sky all the time. So there's huge swaths of Nevada and Utah and New Mexico, and that they're just – nobody lives there. They're all used for flying around and stuff, flying around who knows what. So, yeah, man, that's what it's about. But – when the system does do a reset, and it will, and the dollar, when it does do its collapse and they do the reset to what they're going to try to sell us on, which is electronic currency, we need to do the 40 acres and a mule for everybody, honestly. If you're an American citizen, you get 40 acres of land. We're going to have to do something like that, man, because it's either that or it's shuffle us all into these megalopolis Hunger Game death cities.
So what do you think's going on right now on Wall Street? I mean, I just saw this report today. We talked about it last show. There had been two bankers that committed suicide, which, hey, good for them. I mean, they're bankers, they're scum anyway. But I mean, I think this could have some ramifications. I just saw a report today there's four bankers that have committed suicide.
It's pre-crash. It's pre-crash. You know,
so it's kind of scary. And we saw the Asian stock markets were going really bad over the weekend.
They melted. And during the Super Bowl, there was a meltdown. And then there was a four-day holiday in China. So it was like they were going to melt down, right? But maybe something kind of delayed that. I'm not sure, you know. But if they melt down, then I'm not sure what it does for us. It may be beneficial in some ways, but then again, they're a huge trading partner. So how China goes, we go, and we're interconnected. So it could be they collapse, we collapse. That would be something I hadn't foreseen, but it makes total sense to me now, right? Pandemonium both over there and here. I never thought about that, but now I think about it, you need to do something drastic, control 1.3 billion.
It wouldn't be a surprise that you know, all the stock markets come down at the same time, whether it's the Asian markets, the American markets. I mean, our markets are taking a beating as well. Just today alone, there was a huge drop in the market. And, you know, a lot of people, quote unquote, believe that there's going to be a correction. But the way I see it is that there was never any growth in the first place. I mean, all this superficial
derivatives.
It's all superficial stock market growth that's not based on real economic, real economic growth. So for there to be a correction, it's like, what are they correcting? I mean, there was nothing ever that was actually going right in the first place.
They're correcting a departure from the fiat money and a flood into the virtual coin and metal coin markets right now, a flood. And I'm talking about when I went to a coin shop, it was lying out the door. So people are stocking up on small silver coins like you would not believe. And then bitcoins, because you can go anywhere and take them anywhere and go anywhere. I mean, you could get a bunch of bitcoins and go to Hong Kong and we're good.
Well, that's kind of what I wanted to get to, and I kind of want to give our fans – I mean, I don't want to sit here and claim to be some kind of financial advisor or anything. I don't want anyone to make any drastic decisions. But if we see the stocks continue to sell off, I think now it would only be natural to assume that you would see an influx of people trying to buy into this virtual market, this virtual cryptocurrency market. So whether it's Bitcoin, the one I'm going to buy into personally, I'm going to put, you know, when I get paid, I'm going to put a couple $100 into some Dogecoin and see what that does, because that stuff's like really cheap right now. And apparently, according to a few journalists I know, Dogecoin is about to get a lot of publicity. So, I mean, that may be one of the, you know, next little gold rushes when it comes to this cryptocurrency. But I think, I mean, if anything, Bitcoin is a little more solid than what the dollar is right now. So I think if we see the stock market continue to slide past this 10% mark, which they call a correction, I think we are going to see a big influx of people going into these digital currencies. So I don't think it would be a bad move. It wouldn't be a bad move to at least diversify a little bit of whatever it is you have into, you know, 10-20% of what you have into a little bit of this cryptocurrency and just, you know, see where it takes you.
Well, if you have a 401k, I mean, and it's starting to sink, it's a scary sight. I mean, what if you might need that stuff? I mean, even if you take a 20% hit to cash it out, sometimes that's better than watching it get cut in half or worse. So some people may be thinking, like, if I were to do something like that, what would I do with it? And I mean, there you go. You could divest it into a couple different ways. So just to protect yourself, just in case. I mean, if something crazy happens, your 401k is just electronic numbers and they're worthless.
We got these reports of this tuna coming in. We get back to this Fukushima stuff we haven't talked about in a week or two. And it's kind of quiet. The news isn't too loud coming out of there right now. But the fact is that the fish on the West Coast are you know, inundated with this radioactivity. In fact, they've shown some bluefin tuna to have 124 times the normal amount. And yeah, you know, the FDA or whatever it is that sets the standards are going to up the standards and just say, oh, it's not a big deal. It's still safe. Go ahead and consume it, you know. But the fact is no amount of man-made radioactivity is good for you. Now, you know, humans have been on this earth for thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years, and we've evolved to use the solar radiation to our own advantage, you know, for the most part. Of course, you get too much sun, you can get skin cancer and all that stuff, but a bit of sun every day is good for you, you know, all the benefits and I would argue that the radiation from the sun helped our evolution, helped get mutations that were beneficial to the species and all that stuff.
Well, they correlate sun activity with evolutionary hops, skipping and jumps, kind of, where it'll go through different cycles, and you'll definitely get more radiation, and then certain things will have children that show different characteristics, and then sometimes they're dominant. But the thing is that this radiation is not organic nor natural nor controlled, and it's not filtered by anything, and it's raw, and it's making not only radiation sickness, but insta mutations, where you saw these conjoined twin whales that they've never seen that happen before with a whale, a conjoined twin. So things are starting to happen. I mean, these starfish are now pulling themselves apart. I don't know if you've heard of this crazy phenomenon, but they were at first melting, and now apparently they're pulling themselves apart and mutating out by making one starfish into five of them, and then so on and so forth. So what will that do to the food chain with all these starfish that are exponentially reproducing themselves? That's the craziest mutation I've ever heard of.
Yeah, and starfish are pretty, you know, they're pretty crazy creatures. They're voracious eaters, yeah, too. They're crazy creatures, man. The fact that they could regrow their limbs and stuff. It's just, you know, all of our sea life is being affected. We're being affected because we're eating this stuff. I haven't ate seafood from the Pacific in a while, but a lot of my friends are still eating it. And even when I tell them, hey, man, you know, there's radiation and that stuff, they don't really, you know, a lot of people don't seem to care. But I'll tell you what, down the line, 10, 20 years down the line, they're going to, you know, be sitting there with all these weird cancers, leukemia, and
thyroid cancer. What if it affects your baby if you're pregnant? What if women are eating sushi and something happens to your child? You know what I mean? Why would you risk it? Just stop doing it. I'm not eating it. Just people in the know are not eating seafood anymore. It's unless you got a Geiger counter on you, and it's got to be a spectrometer, by the way, which only labs have because of the specific isotope that was present in Fukushima and is concentrating in these bluefin and basically any of these top feeders are eating the bottom feeders, and that's what they're eating, the hot spots where all the particles are grouping up. So I mean, I can only think, man, sushi is like a raw, isn't that equivalent to eating like a raw cell, like an uncultured cell? I mean, if it's cancerous or something, it can't be good, dude. I can only think, like you said, down the line, and then even and the crop of children within the next couple of years maybe showing some major problems because of this.
Yeah, man.
Now I'm just worried about it.
we try to stay away from the celebrity gossip and all that stuff, but there's one last thing I just wanted to mention tonight before the show's over. This Philip Seymour Hoffman guy that died, which was an actor also in the Hunger Games. But apparently he got his hands on some bad heroin. And I look at this story and I look at it and I say, you know what? This guy is a victim of the drug war.
Well, yeah, I mean, he is, because they didn't properly, you know, rehabilitate him. I'm sure he'd been in and out of kind of different things and it never stuck. And, you know, because they didn't give the guy ayahuasca, he OD'd. Let's be honest. He could have went down there and cured himself if they'd known about it.
Well, and then you got this other problem with the drug war, which is where you drive these drugs underground, where you have no transparency, you got no way of accountability. You know, this guy probably got his hands on some heroin that was tainted.
I'm sure.
And of course, we still get tainted food and all that stuff, even though we have these, you know, quote-unquote safety regulations and stuff. But in the illegal drug war, game, it's a lot more prevalent to end up, you know, getting some cocaine that's mixed with who knows what and getting some meth that's mixed with who knows what. Yep. But the fact that this stuff is illegal keeps it under the, you know, we're not able to find out what's in it or get any kind of transparency, you know. So I think he's a victim of the drug war. Thank you guys for tuning in. Catch us on Wednesday and Friday, same time on UCY.
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo.